Good evening. This is Rabbi Mayevsky, and I entitled tonight's shiur, What is the Actual Meaning of the Bris Ben HaBesorim, and What is the Symbolism? Of course, it's very unclear in the Chumash in terms of what caused it and what it's all about. So just to illustrate, first thing we do is when we begin the Haggadah, the mitzvah of Pesach tonight, we'll get to what I call the topic in a minute, but basically the Haggadah, we read a Haggadah because there's a mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, as opposed to just normally mentioning Zechira. We mention it when we say Kriya Shema every day, we mention Yetzias Mitzrayim, but on Pesach at the Seder, it is a mitzvah of Sipur, to discuss it in greater detail and understand the whys and wherefores where everything had. Last week, what I left off, I told you that I would finish off this week with what the Tam is, the four sons. And I explained three of the four sons, and I left out the Tam on purpose. And the Tam is somebody, and the reason I left it out will become apparent. The reason that we say the Tam is, what does he say? What is a Tam? We have to explain what is the Tam at all. And we think of it as the simple person, he doesn't know how to ask. But the reality is a Tam is not that kind of a person. A Tam is, in fact, what you might call a tzaddik, because he's simple in the respect of only one thing. His father has taught him that there are 613 mitzvahs, and this is the way we do it. We put on tefillin every day, we daven, we eat kosher, and so on and so forth. And he takes it, and he doesn't ask questions why, and he just does it. Now, how do we know that exactly? Why would I begin to say that it's a Tam? Because when we see at the beginning of Parshas Toldos, when Yitzhak and Rivka get married, and after 20 years, they're finally blessed with two sons. They have twins. And it says, V'yaseiv yodea tzayit ish sodeh, v'yaakov ish tam yoshev olim. Does that mean that Yaakov is an ish tam? He's not an ish tam in terms of a simple person. He is a tzaddik, obviously. That's what we know about him. And how do we know that that's what it actually means? Very simply, because what does the Torah say right after the Yaakov ish tam yoshev olim? And it says, Vayavo esav min asodev uhoyev, vayozet Yaakov nozim, lechem unaziz adashim. And Esav came back from the land and he was hungry and he asked, please, I want something to eat. And if he gets something to eat, he says, I'll give you whatever you want. I'll give you some of the food that I made, except for one thing. I want you to sell me the bechora. And he does. Is that the act of a simple person? No. It's an act of a very streetwise tzaddik who knows that if Vayivez Esav es habechora, so Yaakov is in fact a tzaddik. He's an ish tam. The tzaddik does everything the way he's told. But what we want to happen at the Seder is for you, everything is geared kedei sheyish alu hatinokos. So we want to engage him in conversation. Maybe he's doing it as because he's doing it because he's told, but we still want you to understand all the things that you do. And therefore, we come to what I wanted to hop on for the lion's portion of this year. We have the Bris Ben HaBesorim that God comes to Avram and he says, Kecholi, God says, I promise you, I'm going to give you the land of Eretz Yisrael. And this is what I want you to do. He says, Kecholi, Egla Mishuleshes, V'Eis Mishuleshes, V'Ayil Mishulosh, V'Sor V'Gozol. And it's a whole litany of things. And what is the symbolism of all these things? What is the necessity? And God tells them, you know, that you're going to be Kigeri Yez Arachabi. After he goes through all this, God says to him, Kigeri Yez Arachabi Eretz Olohem, Vavodum Vinu Osam Arbame Oshana, Vagames Hagoya Sher Yavodu Dononochi. What is this all about, and what is the necessity for all these things? What is the symbolism? And when it says that God tells Abraham that to take these three behemoths, there's two alternate interpretations of it. One is because what does Abraham ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He says, Bamor Eidaki Roshena. And the question is, was God punishing Abraham? Did he doubt HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he was giving him the land? Absolutely not. He, many times in the Torah, as we know, you could see in so many psukim in the Torah, The word key means when, and that we see that many times various pesukim, as you will see, key savo el haaretz, when you come into the land. It means key means when, and so Avraham wanted to know, when is it going to be in my lifetime? Because in fact, when God tells at one time in the early in the parashas Lech Lecha, it says, Acharei hiparid lot meimo sonoi nechu rei kolamakom asher atosham lecho et neno ulizarecha. I'm giving it to you. So what does that mean? I'm giving it to you. Am I going to get it in my lifetime, or is it going to be in my children? Is it going to be my grandchildren will inherit it, or my great-grandchildren? I would like to know when this will all take place. I need to prepare myself. Is it going to be? And God tells him, not you. And therefore, the three behemos are a remes to the ovos, that Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. It won't happen to the kecholi egla mishuleshes, three animals. Kecholi egla mishuleshes, v'eiz mishuleshes, v'ayel mishulosh. Each one is, the symbolism is Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Or, alternately, that some might say is Miriam, Moshe, and Aaron. And they will all die before they go into the land. And they will not go in. The Sarvigo Zol is Yoshua, either Yoshua and Elazar HaKohen. Aviyat HaTzipor Lo Basar is B'nei Yisrael. And they will be the ones who go into Eretz Yisrael. Aviyat HaTzipor Lo Basar. And that is the remiss to those. These people will perish in beforehand, as the Avos will die, and the Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, they will be the ones to take you out. However, they will not go into the land. And there was no sin committed at Avraham. Because if we say, as the Gemara mentions many times, that the sin was that Sha'asam Garia, or that he collected an army to take the boys out of sitting and learning in yeshiva, to go save Lot, various things, various other crimes perhaps, but the various things, then why wasn't Avraham himself punished? He wasn't punished at all for that. It says, you will not be harmed in any way, shape, or form. You will die peacefully. And so that is. And also, as the Ramban says, he criticizes Avraham for various crimes of going down when there was a famine to go down and put Sarah's life in danger, not once but twice. And so what is that all about? And God didn't chastise him for anything, for not having the bitachon, as the Rambam points out. And Avraham was never punished for that. And otherwise he would have said something to him. But nevertheless, it's v'atot havol avasecha b'shalom. And that is a major source of consternation for the thing. Now, so because we get onto the coin now, also we get into it, it says, V'dor revi'i yoshuvu hena. So when does the 400 years begin? There is a problem over here. God tells us that the Arba Me'oshana, you're going to be enslaved or you're going to be in Eretz Lo Lahem for 400 years, but he doesn't tell us when the 400 years will begin. So he said, Baruch HaMachom Baruch Hu, Baruch HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shechisha V'Saketz. Now, what does that mean, Shechisha V'Saketz? Of course, we say the word Ketz is 190, and although the Bnei Yisrael were only in Mitzrayim actually for 210 years, God took away 190. Now, when did that 190 begin? Of course, Rashi tells us that it was from Leidas Yitzhak. But again, why does that say Vidor Revi'i or Shuvu Hena? Because what was the actual reason that they went down to Mitzrayim? The actual reason that they went down, God doesn't say about Mitzrayim, but is the Mechiras Yosef was the actual final catalyst of them actually going down to Mitzrayim. And therefore, they, as we always said, when we said by Parshas by Yigash, when the brothers, when Yosef lets the brothers know who he is, that he's the king, and they're very nervous, and he says, V'yato al teyotzvu, V'yato al tiro, the Abar Benel makes a point in saying, V'yato al tiro, don't be afraid now. Of course, there will be a reckoning sometime in the future, that there will be a time to pay, and that is the time to pay. Now, what is the chaiten of Yosef? Of course, Vayove Yosef et Dibo Somro El Avihem. What is the chait of Yaakov? Why should Yaakov have to go down to Golus? Very simple. because Yaakov, as I mentioned last week, generated the hatred among his brothers by making the kasonis pasim and showing favoritism to Yosef, the fact that he never got over the marriage to Leah instead of Rachel. Initially, he never got over that, and he showed favoritism to Yosef as his bechor, the way he looked at it. And that became a problem, so he was guilty as well. The chief problem is then, why would Binyamin have to suffer? Binyamin was not at all involved in the Mechiras Yosef, so why would Yosef have to be the one to suffer as well? But as we might understand is that even though it was a secret among the brothers, it was certainly, the story was a secret, the brothers congregating all along. Binyamin obviously would have had to know. They couldn't keep it a secret. They could keep it, but not from one of the other brothers, but Binyamin, and he knew, but he agreed to keep it a secret. And nevertheless, they were all judged accordingly. And that's why Yaakov and Yosef, whose guilt was on a lesser degree, got to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, whereas the other Shvatim were not buried in Eretz Yisrael, even though some Chazal say that the Shvatim were also buried, they darshan that the Shvatim were also buried in Eretz Yisrael, but the fact remains, in Parshas B'Shalach, at the beginning it says, Vayikach Moshe es atzmos Yosef imo, doesn't say. At the end of Yoshua it says, Asher es atzmos Yosef, Asher helum Mitzrayim. Again, it specifies only the bones of Yosef that were taken out of Mitzrayim. So Yaakov and Yosef, whose guilt was less than the rest of the Shvatim, they had the schus to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. The other Shvatim, the other brothers, were buried in the land of Mitzrayim, where they passed away, and not like Yosef and Yaakov. And God judges everybody accordingly. Now, the fact remains also, to put it all in perspective, God punishes people according to the way it is, but what is the reason that they had to wait so long at certain times? What was the reason for the 400 years when it says, Kilo Sholem Avon Hue Moriat Haina? What does that really mean? Now, when God tells somebody that he's going to give him a bracha, that he's going to get something, that's all well and good when it doesn't involve somebody else. But if it means that the way I'm going to get, if God promised me $1 million and the only way he's going to get it is by taking it away from somebody else, now we have to show, God has to make sure before he takes that million, he confiscates the million from somebody else, that they deserve to have it confiscated. The same thing is the people that lived in the land of Canaan, why they had to wait another 40 years in the Midbar, and why this had to be reckoned accordingly without telling us when it started and when it ended, and now we're all arguing 400 years, when does it begin? Maybe it was, as it says in Parashas Bo, 430 years, Asher Yashvu B'Mitzrayim, because for them to be able to, for the Bnei Yisrael to be royu, to go into the land as God promised, he has to make sure that the people who are living now in the land deserve to get kicked out, which is what we see when in Vayera, when God is telling Abraham, Hamachaseh ani me Abraham, that I'm going to destroy Sodom, and Abraham says, Shofet kol haaretz lo yaseh mishpat. Is it possible that if there are tzaddikim that living in Sodom, that God would destroy everybody? In other words, Abraham is aware of the fact that God will only punish those who deserve to be punished. And therefore, if the people, the Amori, the Shiva Amimim, who lived in the land of Eretz Israel, do have to be deserved to be thrown out of their land. And that is open-ended because we're not sure. Just like when God told Yonah to go to the city of Nineveh to tell them to do tshuva so that they would be zoche, so that they would have the ability to punish Bnei Yisrael and destroy the Beis HaMikdash, and because God wouldn't let them do it if they were Rishayim, and he needed them to repent at this point in time, and Yonah didn't want to be the catalyst for that happening. But nevertheless, that's what we're talking about over here. They have to be deserved to be thrown out of their land. And so it's open-ended, but looking back with hindsight, we begin to put together things we always only know when we get to the end, we could piece together the way things were at the beginning. So we don't know when, because if we say it began with the Leidas Yitzchak, where does that come on to the Dor Revi'i Yeshuvu Heino? It's not. Because if we're saying the Arba Me'oshona, so if it begins from the 210 years that they went down, so then Yaakov must be in the, it has to start with Yaakov. And if you start with Yaakov, it's already at least five generations. And if you start from Leidas Yitzchak, as Rashi says, then it's six generations. So we don't really have a fourth generation, as it points out, unless we do it from the end working backwards. And then it has to be only from Yehuda and so on and so forth from him and Chetzron and Kolev who goes into the land. And therefore, when it says Vesar V'gozol, and Yehoshua is the one as Hatzipor Lo Vosar, that is Yehoshua who would be the one who takes them into the land. And Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam are the symbolic of the three behemoths as well. As I said, there's a difference. You could either say it's Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, or you could say it's Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam as well. And that is the symbolism of what it is. Now, the interesting thing is when it says, V'games ha'goy asher ya'avodu don onochi, if God is saying that they're going to be in the land for Be'eretz Lo Lahem 400 years, then why should Mitzrayim be punished? Because very simply, the only part of what God promised the Shvatim for their chait of selling Yosef down the river, so to speak, is for selling him, and therefore that he says that they're going to be Be'eretz Lo Lahem 400 years. But V'games ha'goy asher ya'avodu, but the people that will cause them their grief, that cause them the extra amount of punishment, then they, that wasn't part of the deal in the first place. And since God knows the future, just like we see so many times when we see him after the Egel in Parshas Kisisa, when God says, Hinei malachi yelech l'fonecho v'sholach l'fonecho malach, and all of these things that God says, I'm not going, he tells us the future, and he knows what's going to take place. And the same thing over here, God is predicting what's going to take place, and the Mitzrayim were going to be overzealous in their shibud of Klal Yisrael, and therefore that is the point. Now, we mentioned last week about Moshe's name being only mentioned once, but the interesting part is, once again, when it says Vishamu Lekolecha, when Moshe is given the shlichos to take the Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, God says to him, Vishamu Lekolecha, and they will listen to you. But right after that, Moshe says, no, they're not going to listen to you. And fine, so, but now what follows that? God says to Moshe, okay, I'll give you two osos. So he's backing down. Why doesn't God just say, I just told you they're going to listen? But he gives them two osos. Now, the interesting thing is, what is the difference between an os and a mophase? There are two things. Os is something that's supernatural. Of course, both of them are. But an os is something that's generated. It's coming from the heavens. It's coming from up above. Mophase is something that happens down below. And we see that in the Makos. And it says, Od nega achor avi al parovi al Mitzrayim. It says, os. The last thing is an os. The last three Makos were osos. They were generated. The borod arbe and Makos Bechoros, Choshech, and all these things are generated coming through the heavens. The Borah, the rain comes from the heaven, and the darkness comes from the heaven, and the Makos Bechoros. The original few Makos at the beginning are all generated through the earth and could seemingly be misconstrued as sleight of hand, certainly as the first couple were recreated by the Chartumim. But nevertheless, these are the differences. So it's the Osos Uvimov Sim. God took us out with 10 Makos, but some were Osos and some were Movsim, and the Osos are certainly more evident to be greater miracles and through the hand of God. We'll see if people want for next week, and I'm available. But we were told we're going on a break for next week. Everybody have a Chag Kosher V'Sameach. Thank you very much.